Well, Michael and I would like to welcome you back to another recording of the Saturn Earth Connection. Our website is helloearth.info. And today is Tuesday, June the 3rd, 2014, and this is our 233 with Michael from Maui, Hawaii. Michael was taken to a huge luminescent sphere near Saturn as a student visitor and returned to Maui with their amazing flowing dialogue. And occasionally we hear from Shaharon using Michael to transmit his voice into the recording. Hello, Michael.
Hello, Curtis South.
Hello.
How's the weather? Is it hot over there?
Yeah, it's gotten hot. I have the air conditioning running today to keep the computer cool and everything else comfortable. So we're already into the hot weather. Finally, it's kind of arrived.
Mm-hmm. Well, I noticed something interesting there in Turkey. I visited Turkey a while back, and it's got this huge flood. Now, interestingly enough, Turkey has control gates on a river that flows through Iraq and Iran, and they turned the spigot off. They made it really like no water going flowing. So that's an important factor, and it may be going to cause some problems with people going into perhaps a drought situation, which inevitably may bring about,
a war.
Yeah, I mean, situations. I mean, just choke off the water. That river, they have dams all up and down it, and Syria's choked off too. So, man, it flows right through all of them, but.
Well,
Turkey
they can't shut it off forever. If there's rain over there, it's going to spill over the spillway and
I saw noticed a picture of this van, I guess a 10 12 passenger van driving along what would be normally the docks, and the river is already over the top. Oh, and you can see that there's a picture of the ferry, the same ferry which I rode. And it's, cruising along, and here's this van right in front of it. So they have a lot of rain that just suddenly came down. Now, hopefully that would allow Turkey to say, okay, we'll let the water flow again. But they literally dried up the river. I'm trying to remember the name of that river. It's such a famous river.
I've never been to Turkey.
I was at Istanbul, primarily at Istanbul, but I did go to Cappadocia, this underground place. Oh, it was an underground city. And anyway, Turkey has a way of draining some of the water from various
lakes
or sea. Yeah, but this, if you look at Turkey, they sit above the flow, I'm trying to find the. I'm on Google Earth right now, looking at it. And they have this monstrous river. Anyway, where they seem to be getting that heavy rain is back in Istanbul, which is the border between Europe and Asia. Half one side of Istanbul is Europe, the other side is Asia. It's where did you go? Anyway, it's a big country.
Yeah, big country. There's so many problems around the world. We sure need some help.
Yeah.
Shaharon, but it's in the hope you're listening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Michael.
Well, anyway, I think the rain is in the wrong place anyway. It's
also here on the mainland. It rains here, it doesn't rain out west.
Yeah, it's like, oh, it's pouring rain. I remember during droughts, I'd be looking out to sea and seeing this huge rainstorm out there at sea dumping in fresh water into the ocean, and it's not even landing here where we're having drought. But of course, now we're not having any drought at all. We've got lots of water, which is good. But other areas like California and stuff, they're getting drought. And I'm not sure about your situation over there, your river water situation.
Well, the reservoir, the three reservoirs, I'm just looking now, 99.0 capacity,
mm-hmm.
99.5, and 99.7. They've been trying to keep them under 80% or something like that. That would be wonderful if they had some area of, or way of catching all the water. But New York City isn't using the water it used to with all their water-saving devices, you know,
mm-hmm.
because back in the 50s or so, they were using a lot more water. It's huge, about the same amount of people. It's about the same amount of space.
Mm-hmm.
Manhattan. So, the river was up the 1st of May, and then it was up 2 weeks later, nearly came in again. But, well, let me just say that Ted wrote and said, excellent podcast last week, thanks for answering my questions. And Kathleen wrote and said, hello, Curtis and Michael. Thank you so much, Michael, for the explanation of my dreams. It gave me a new perspective on what is taking place in and through these experiences. It is an amazing thing to see all these separate threads of one's life experiences come together at a point in time and form themselves into a united whole. A lot of action on your side, Michael. Michael?
Yeah, I was sneezing, sorry.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say a lot of... All right, I'm sorry.
Well, at least I can mute and sing.
All right, I'll continue.
Yeah.
It is also confusing if you look at each experience individually. But when it forms into this whole, you can get a glimpse of the hand of God working in your life. Also, thanks for your comments on the photos I sent. I can't say that I understand what is taking place, but you've given me some food for thought, and I am sure that all will become more clear to me at some point. And then she writes about, this week has been a trying time for me. On Wednesday morning, a little after midnight, my 6-year-old granddaughter was rushed to the hospital because she was having a hard time breathing. She even stopped breathing for a few seconds before reaching the hospital. Her esophagus was almost swollen shut. It seemed to have been due to a virulent form of bacteria.
Virulent.
As all of this was happening, it just brought back everything that I had went through a year ago when we almost lost our son to a similar death door circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
It also brought back all that I have learned through prayer and faith, and I believe that we have reached another miracle. As you've said before, Michael, God's hand is in the timing, and that is what I see in all of this. My granddaughter came home yesterday and has been steadily improving. That's very good to hear. I've come to know many things through hardship, but these three come to mind at this time, that every hardship has its purpose, that we are given no more than we can bear, and that we never walk alone, for His love upholds it all. Loving praise to our Heavenly Father and joyful thankfulness to all who serve Him. Signed, love and joy, Kathleen. So, hardships do come along, and sorry to hear her esophagus was swollen, but
yeah.
Bacteria, that's just those oxygen atoms can, you know, like these people from Europe, that's something they learn in their daily education of what may be referred to in their country as the public education, but it's erased from our public education.
Well, yeah, there's so many different diseases that can attack. Our immune system is always working hard, but lately I think it's been working overtime because of some of the newer things that are seem to have percolated. Remember at the time we were talking about going through the tail of a comet and it had possibilities of bringing in some kind of life form, which would be more like viruses and strange things like that in the tail. And it would take months for it to get down to the where we live.
Right, just, I remember. You know,
yeah.
We were going to go through that and it was going to sprinkle might, all over the earth.
Yeah, well, it has some effect, I think, because you got sick and you never get sick. And I did too, and I never get sick. And we got over it, but it was at one time I remember looking at the shelves on the drugstore. And every cold medication was just about bought out. It was just really bad. Everybody was, you know, it wasn't a terrible sickness, life-threatening in a direct sense, maybe indirectly to a weak person who was already weak. Mm-hmm. But it was virulent. It just didn't want to, it's not a 24-hour cold. It was more like 24 days. People were saying a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks. You know, and for me it was about there. You know, it was longer than, and I still cough up mucus. And I'm thinking, you know, this reminds me of the kind of coughing up of mucus that I would get with the volcanic ash, because, you know, because Mauna Kea erupts and hasn't stopped. Occasionally we get what we call VOG, which is air that's filled with volcanic ash, which is high in silica, which is
sulfur.
Sulfur, oh yeah, sometimes, yeah. When you get close, oh yeah, it's definitely sulfur. But a lot of times it's just the ash, which is the really bad stuff.
Oh, really?
That's the stuff that can bring down jetliners, you know, if they clog up their turbines and stuff.
I read about that, them flying through a volcanic cloud. They didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, but it just melts right onto the, you know, the turbines.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, you know, does terrible things. Well, anyway, in human beings or any of respirating being, you know, organic, biologic entity, humans, especially us, that's what it really cares about, it ends up irritating our lungs and stuff. Like much like smoke ash, but worse, because volcanic ash is, like I say, high in silica, very, very, very tough material. Silica can, you know, can make some pretty hard edges on, you know, the edge of saw blades. Well, anyway, wood that is high in silica is hated by many of the sawmills because they dull all the saw blades. Well, I imagine just breeding the stuff that dulls saw blades and brings down jet liners. Well, when we went through the cometary tail, one of the things that I was looking for is seeing if there is an event that begins to show up in the population of the world, planet, everybody. And not sudden die-offs or kills, but just, you know, the wellness of the planet. Well, it sort of showed up. And I'm thinking, oh, we even got another one that's even closer. It's called Linear. This is closer than the moon is to Earth, what it went through, to see what they deposit and if it's going to be a problem. These are just warnings, I believe, that we should take note, because a lot of the things that can bring about change is like this flooding in Istanbul. And in one area, they got too much water. And in another area, they say, we don't have enough water. We're going to close our dam spigot here. And then everybody downriver closes up theirs because they don't want their water level dropping too far, you know, in a short time. And then pretty soon the people at the end of the whole thing. And if you look at Iraq, which has got a good chunk of that water, they'll have a dry river. It eventually flows right through, I think it flows right through Baghdad. But anyway, that's some of the tensions that are building. An interesting thing that's tension-wise is that Israel has also unleashed some of their powerful naval weaponry. And moved it outside of Iran, of all places. They got to go all the way around the Persian Peninsula, get into the Arabian Gulf to get them positioned right there looking at Iran, and that's what they've done. So that's interesting. You got them really down the barrel of a gun. They're looking right down the barrel of their gun, aimed right straight at Iran. It's there's some stuff that's happening here.
Not a comfortable feeling.
It's an uncomfortable feeling for it, especially Israel. But we got to take note if they really don't feel safe. I mean, that's because somebody's got nuclear weapons that they don't want launched. They want to be able to knock them out long before they ever reach Israel. And if you've got any kind of technology that's capable of knocking down a nuclear missile, you want to get it in a position where it can knock it down way before, and get a couple tries at least before, you know, hits. Maybe two or three tries. So get close. Get your first shots out there. So this is all part of their Iron Dome concept, where how to defend Israel. And they seem to be looking at who's got the real threat. It's not Iraq, it's Iran.
Well, maybe if the threat was from space, we'd all work together instead of fight each other.
Well, isn't that what Ronald Reagan said?
That's exactly what he said. Or else, well, it's so many words. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the threats that are maybe coming from outer space. It's the fact that our celestial friends are watching us play in our sandbox over here. Mm-hmm. They're not doing a good job either, throwing sand in each other's face. And that's only because somebody went, ow, and the other person didn't say sorry. Yeah, they didn't say sorry. Put a sand in your face. Well, anyway, that's some of the tensions around the world, things that have gone about. interesting, getting back to Kathleen, is that whenever I have witnessed people working in the higher realms, right, whether they're partnering with our celestial friends, seraphic, angelic hosts, who come and help, many times it comes with a responsibility. And sometimes it is that responsibility that causes them to move into higher ministries or service. Because, you know, like myself, I'm a human being, but in terms of celestial service, service with the divine, that has a lot to do with just being willing to help. And that's when you've got some experience like that, you see help come through, and you know that, you know, sometimes modern medicine doesn't know the way. Or if they do, they just hope. Many times that's what they're doing. They're hoping whatever remedy that they can prescribe or do will come through. And sometimes it really doesn't, not without help. And that help is something that I believe in the hands of people who have experienced this type of divine. So, Kathleen, maybe you'll be moving along into helping others in similar positions in terms of need of miraculous or extraordinary help sourced from divine sources. Mm-hmm. And we don't know exactly the different agents that may be necessary. Sometimes it is a real angelic being that comes and does something. And otherwise, and sometimes it's just moving into the realm of relieving the individual from this disease, which causes the imbalance. And that's the term where we get, you know, disease from. And it means it basically unbalancing our normal way of defending ourselves in terms of our health. And sometimes people can try on their own to overcome it, but try to just ignore it, and it can result in some serious problems. Right now, there's more going on in terms of our planetary weather patterns and stuff, which are being influenced by our sun. Sun is not just blowing up. It is shooting out effects that are coupling with our planetary weather systems and even volcanic or tectonic systems, both earthquake, weather patterns, and volcanic activity. All of these things are being affected. But are these things only affected because our sun is acting up strange? I don't believe so. I believe that when we had passed through the galactic plane, this was known that the energies that seem to come out on the plane of the galactic plane, that flat plane that our galaxy is made up of, that flat plane that tends to be the formation of even our solar system. I remember asking, why does that happen? Why is it that galaxies are flat? Or, you know, after a while they become like a spiral or like a frisbee or something, you know, like, why are they that way? And I was told that in a more, in a simple manner, it's something similar to static electricity. And that immediately focuses my concentration on the understanding that I have as an electrical engineer in terms of the dynamics of electromotive force, which is so much more powerful than what could be, you know, given terms of gravity. It's billions of times more powerful. And are we seeing these types of energies coupled through the galactic plane, the flat galactic plane that we are intersecting right now, that is affecting planetary weather systems. And it's visible from Earth observation. It's gotten to the point where even Obama, President Obama, says about weather changes that could cause unusual events in terms of hurricanes, like Sandy, which climbed way out of the normal range, way up the coast, up to where you, Curtis, had to be encased in a type of shield, a bubble, yeah? Mm-hmm. And this points out selected protection, right? Not just, okay, we'll move the hurricane away. Sometimes it's simpler to just protect the ones you care about. That's the way celestials work. This type of favor is real. It has been spoken of in terms of religious writings, in terms of the prophets of old, of how even in the ancient, in the Hawaiian lore, even up to the modern time, so you have the flows of lava coming down and just about going to just level this church, and the minister comes out there and he speaks to the lava and basically asks God, put the brakes on this lava flow. And it splits right around the church, and the church is level, on level ground. How did it split? Interestingly enough, there was a kind of cooling that went up. It was like it had pushed down this flow of cooled off lava crust, and it built a wall right in front of the church, and then all this lava ended up saying, okay, we'll go around. And when it went around, it went right around the church. Is this a natural thing? Yes, it is. But how come it happened so conveniently when this minister asked for help to protect that church? Later, that church was literally moved when it was threatened, and they said, we have to save this historic monument. So they lifted it up and moved it away. But it was visible as a tourist attraction for so long with taking that story, because people saw that selective help come into play. And whether it be need for miraculous healing, miraculous protection, we'll need more of that. How celestials have been working, extraterrestrial beings been working with us, one of the most powerful things that I noticed of talking with them was that I always was wondering, why aren't their mouths moving? I can understand them perfectly. They can understand me perfectly. This telepathic communication is a gateway that we were trying to be taught and to tune in and to be able to speak to the celestials telepathically. And it was given a name, very simple name, called prayer. And of course, you got to know who you're talking to. But one of the problems that has come up to intercept prayer was that everything that, like prayer, it doesn't exist. Our modern science decided to try to put that out in some field of science that is somewhere in the non-credible area, which is not with real science, but actually it is. Now, today's science has become very unstable in its position. In other words, they're beginning to realize we don't know everything, we don't understand everything, but we still have to rely on that which we already knew and that which was able to be proven in terms of physical sciences and the material sciences, physics and such. But moving beyond that, even the idea of electromotive energies, which could be very well coupled into the center of our galactic energetic source, which is at the center of our galaxy, could very well be given credibility more and more. And so much so that some scientists may have actually approached the President of the United States and said, President Obama, you got to put out a warning. Let the people know. Let them go and stock up food. Let them get ready for terrible weather conditions. Let them get water supplies ready. Let them get these things ready. Well, okay. So he goes out and he makes his statement. And I think very well it is something that our capability of measuring. I've worked with some of the high technology equipment years ago that has now become very common. And in the hands of scientists, they got stuff that really is cutting edge. I mean, it is absolutely able to measure stuff that we only dreamed about at one time. But they are able to do these measurements. And, you know, my work up at top the summit of Haleakala gets very close to their instrumentation. And I'm looking at all of this stuff being put in and millions of dollars of upgrades for new energetic designs that are being brought up there to study space. Anyways, they're finding stuff they want to know more about. And they're getting granted a lot of money to put up these things. And the results are President Obama coming up with a warning. And I think it's to be taken seriously. So if you listen to the celestial voice or the voice of the president, yeah, get ready for some pretty bad stuff. Yeah.
In weather,
natural phenomena like weather, bad weather, stuff that will knock out power for weeks, months, things that could blow down your house. Things that, it's how seriously do you take it, you know? And the big bad wolf can blow your house down, you know, huff and puff and blow you. So go ahead and build it out of whatever you want to do. Well, take the words are getting more and more serious. Now, are people going to lambast and lampoon President Barack Obama? They have done that in every kind of way you can imagine, but he's not going to go out there and say something like that with a heart to just, you know what, going to do, boost the canned goods industry or what, the bottled water industry? No, he's talking about something that is worldwide and could very well cause some really unstable conditions in terms of people's ability to help each other and help himself, which can cause peace to turn to war. And depends upon how it is approached. One of the biblical terms about how the bear of the north will come down to Israel was the fact that it was not to come down to Israel for what Israel did not have and does not have right now. If people think it's for oil, well, Russia's got oil. They know about oil that is produced by our planet under tremendous pressure. So they're the ones that piloted the deep drilling oil wells that just go down 3, 4, 5 miles that causes the Gulf incident. What British Petroleum was doing in the Gulf, it caused that blowout, massive leak of oil. This is very, very real source of oil. So Russia has a lot of oil. You're not down there, you're going to go down to Israel for oil. Well, if you look at the global climatic changes that could include our own breadbasket, the United States, which produces more food for the world than we can really understand. And a lot of our food has been rejected because it was genetically modified. But there's a lot of other stuff that's good that could very well be threatened. California is already getting that threat, which is a breadbasket, not necessarily of grains, but of fresh produce. And that is under threat. So can see higher prices for food. You can see shortages for food. You can see domestic violence because of people not getting their share. And all kinds of things that can happen. So besides having a base of food, you need friends. You need to know your neighbors. You need to know as many resources for help if you were to think that there will be a period of time when society can break down because of weather conditions and combined with economic conditions, which could cause, for us in Hawaii, we think and we know absolutely all of our source is not generated. We don't farm all our food here. We have super monocrop industries like sugarcane and at one time pineapple. And these monocrops are no good feeding the population. They're just monocrops. And we've diversified for, you know, the high tourist industry so we can provide them with really, you know, very good locally grown produce, very healthy stuff, but not enough for everybody. So we're very well aware that if we ever take a hit in the ships, the containerization, the big back box concept was invented because of Hawaii. Hawaii shipping company, Matson, developed the box concept, and it went all around the world to it's the primary means of shipping goods and produce production around the world. Well, that came out of Hawaii because Hawaii tried to get itself in a position where it can survive and grow. And it's something that we practice. Thinking one of the funny things we always talk about is the ships don't come, we better have enough toilet paper. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Matson line originated in Hawaii.
Yeah, Matson is a company that was built out of the sugar industry.
Oh.
Yeah, and they developed the containerization and standardized it.
That's interesting. You see these huge container ships with containers that I'm surprised they're up so high on the, you know, above the center of gravity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they do fall off in rough seas.
Yeah.
I remember a friend of mine going out there tying a rope to a container and taking forever to tow it in because you have this huge thing and it's got a little 24-foot boat buzzing away. Opens it up on shore and he finds nothing very good.
I'm surprised the container floated.
Yeah, well, it was a refrigerated container. That means it was foam-filled.
Oh.
You know, for insulation. Mm-hmm. So he found rotten stuff in there. Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know what it was. Probably a lot of food stuff, you know. It needed refrigeration. Well, anyway, that's another story. But the idea is that things are going to get a little bit more serious. And we need all the kinds of help we have. Also, we also may find ourselves in a position where selective aid will come from celestial sources. And we need to have communication with them in order that they respond, and the gateway is there. It's built into us through the divine fractal. The very voice of God lives within us, which gives us the very ability to communicate beyond our own locality into the celestial sources, which can actually build pretty interesting structures about us temporarily for the aid, which is like a field of energy that can protect us. Remember the old concept of force field? I remember when I first used that term with the celestials was in the approach. to the New Jerusalem. And it was this, you know, it's right there on your page there, Curtis, that light bulb looking. Mm-hmm. And in that form, I kept wondering what was this white, you know, luminescent, radiant field about it. But what I called it was, wow, that, what is that? A force field. And they looked at me and it kind of said, he's got it wrong here. It's a field, but it's not a force. There's no force within it. It is a field. So they discriminate a lot about the terminology and our understanding of the dynamics of how the physical universe works. They have very strong understanding about that, wanting us to get it right. So electrical energy, the space is not empty. We are cutting through the galactic plane. The sun's acting up. Our weather patterns are changing. All of this is going to give us insight. Are we to run blind? No. Take Curtis's shielding during Sandy's. Well, Sandy hit nearly direct into New Jersey, right?
Oh, it sure did. I mean, I went to a fella's house about 5 miles from here. He lives in the woods. Mm-hmm. I mean, he lives pretty deep in the woods, and he's got a barn and a house and an open area. But on the way back to that open area, oh, there's this whole area of devastation you drive through, of all these trees that are just laying on their side.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy.
Does it look something like where you live? I mean, the trees are the same kind of trees?
Oh, yeah, same kind of trees. I mean, same thickness in vegetation.
It just was wide open to the...
Wide open.
Wasn't protected, like you were.
It had no protection. And it wasn't like it was more out in the open than I am. I'm more out in the open than they are because of the river.
Yeah, the river's wide open for a gust of wind to blow.
That's right. We get this wind through here just before we start recording it.
The
sky turned dark. Everything started blowing around. And before we started recording, I heard this big, huge bang.
Yeah.
And I went outside and a branch hit
broke off
and hit the roof and split in a few pieces and laying out there on the ground. Some of it's still up on the roof.
Well, that tells me that you had some type of structured protection during Sandy.
Yeah, during Sandy.
And I think why I'm bringing it up is so that those who are listening to that will understand that they can be at an advantage if they realize that they have celestial help. Our celestial friends, all working under the banner of Christ Michael, Jesus Christ himself, universe creator, are unified to help us. But if we don't want their help, they're not going to help us. You know what I mean? They won't force themselves on us. They've been through the experience like, who do you think you are coming over here and helping us? We don't need your help. You know, that's what happened to the Americans when they went over to help some people. Not everybody looked at the way in which we come over there, even with the Peace Corps, of all things. They didn't look at the Peace Corps as a good thing. So the Celestials like to be invited. So if you have a heart and you understand that their heart are beating in synchronized, and we can synchronize with that, which is the heartbeat of love, which is the divine fractal, which also beats in their hearts. They'll come on. They'll protect. They'll tell you go someplace else. It's that way because there are guardians out there who not only work with individuals but entire groups. That's why sometimes church groups get put into a position where, wow, if they were just a little bit of, you know, they had gathered themselves just a little bit away, they would have been wiped out during that tsunami that hit, what was that, Indonesian one? That really wiped out up through Malaysia and everything, mm-hmm. The Indian Ocean.
I don't know, was there a name for that tsunami?
I forgot. Well, yeah, there was a name for it. But yeah. But you know, the Japanese ones, they were under this mystique where they built the walls, the tsunami walls, and they were literally hiding behind them, and they kind of trusted them because they were so massive and so high. No one could dream that a tsunami could climb that many times higher than that. Well, it did. And those who trusted in the technology of man found themselves in a real big struggle. And there are some that were warned, and they had already found their pathway, and they took the time to have it worked out. Else they didn't have much time though. So anyway, these kinds of events can happen. Tsunamis is in Hawaii. There nowhere ever has there been tsunamis as bad as the ones that went, this last one, and the one in Japan that really, you know, caused, they were kind of damaging, broke Fukushima's nuclear power plants. This is the kind of thing that I think has been given insight to President Obama, so he comes at least to the warning that severe weather conditions are in store.
Well, how about that object up on the moon that was detected in December 2013 in that crater the size of downtown Chicago?
Yeah, with the big V-wing in there?
Yeah, the big V-wing in there. I mean, you say the Celestials like to be invited. Well, they're close.
They're ready.
Yeah, they're right on our doorstep.
One of the things that the Rancho book did say, if a world has to be evacuated, they will be putting into place the necessary infrastructure, whatever it may be, for the rescue. If the rescue mission is somewhat, you know, it might be called at any time, they'll be building it. So they've been actively doing it. I think the New Jerusalem is part of the overall active base structure. Although it was probably put in or installed close to the time of Christ. But I think going forward from that, couple thousand years, they've been putting in place structures and devices and other things in place that will make possible the salvation or the saving of the planet. Not only souls, but the very fabric of life that makes up our planet and keeps it beautiful. Right now they've been working with the sun, keeping it like toned down a bit, but that's sort of passed already. So there will be more going on an individual basis. Sometimes people don't like to be sealed or tagged, because some of these guys that come over, these guys in the program, they install these tags kind of like without care, concern that we got scared, you know. I remember I had a dentist like that. He just didn't care if I was scared or not. He just went in and drilled my teeth. And he said, I don't care if you're scared. I'm putting these clamps in your mouth, and you can't close your mouth anymore. I didn't like him at all.
Well, is there anything Shaharon could tell us about this V-wing craft that is facing us on the moon? That when we look at the moon, it's almost right in the center.
No, I could ask him. Yeah, what is
he permitted to tell us?
I don't know. He'll tell us what he can, I guess. But, well, let's see if he's... It is also a time when we spend with you, a time which we share. This is the Ataraktik Sharu, Ted.
Hello, Ted.
And, yes, I am aware that you're concerned about our craft there, placed in an obvious position, as you know.
Very obvious.
It is just one of many. The exact position was chosen carefully because it lies squarely within a domain which is observable. You understand what I mean by observable?
Oh, yes, of course.
Yes. But it is not observable for the everyday, casual observer. You'll need quite good telescopes to see it. We have training missions. This I am permitted to speak. We have many who are assigned by their own choice to the details of rescue. Do you understand that you have very similar training going on your planet? Immediately that comes into the mind of Michael, which I can use, is the Coast Guard. You understand the Coast Guard?
Yes, the Coast Guard.
They are trained. And I realize you are also trained in the Navy.
Yes.
And in such training, you are required to do various missions that are only practice.
Yeah.
And such is the same. We have been and are and completely are allowed to do a certain amount. In the Phoenix event, you understand the Phoenix event?
Yes, of 1997, we call it.
Yes, that was a training mission. But it was also an interface mission, which we would gather program information on the reaction of society, your society, to such an event. We knew that we could not come in hard. Would have to come in somewhat covered up during the darkness. Our craft, our viewing craft, is dark gray and is not one that reflects light very well. Perhaps we designed it not to reflect light at all. However, it was a training mission. And we perform many more that are not in areas where we have large exposure or concentrations of people. Your people would be brought into situations which may upset the current state of affairs. This is not our desire. Presently, training missions are accomplished in areas of your planet to make those that are tending to the mission aware about your topography, your actual weather conditions. These things do interfere or are impinged upon our craft. It's very large. So windage, things like that are something that in the very slow motions that we take will and could affect the safety of the actual mission, the success of the mission. So there will be, during such times, missions that we have actually performed in high wind and high, very stormy situations that are dangerous. And there have been some curious observations of our activity near such stormy weather conditions. These are the more well-trained. You might call them pilots, but they're different from pilots. In other words, they do not fly the plane. They order the crew's task in terms of the interaction between the craft and your own atmospheric weather conditions. There are other things that go on. The Phoenix event was one in which culturally we wanted to observe. And we received our answers as pretty close to as predicted. There will be more as time goes on. There will be more. The structure of the craft on the moon is larger than many of the other V-wings. But there will be some super wings that will be approaching, which are much larger. The super wings are craft that are perhaps the size of the city of New York, capable of literally evacuating the entire city. That in full human form, we can lift all of them. Would we need one for every city within the planet? We will selectively choose. We selectively choose always. And such selections are made based on heart. What I mean by heart is your relations or the individual's relation to the divinity that already resides within them, the God within themselves. This heart and our heart is the signal that such an individual is one to lift. Others who only care to save their physical selves, no concern about other things. Such individuals may have to remain. I'm not saying not lifted. I'm saying they may have to remain to undergo continual training in life to gather the choice of progress, the choice of self. Lessness versus selfishness. This is all related to what is observed on the moon and our purpose.
Oh, Sharon?
Yes.
Let me just ask, is there at all possible a way between our technology and your technology to set up a video feed and talk to your training mission while they're on the moon?
Missions must not be shared because of what will become a point of interference. If you desire technological interchange between us and yourselves, it will be made available, but only at or very near to the actual mission. Therefore, there will be no interference. I will say this. There is a reason for that.
I understand, you, all right.
Your friends are not your friends on Earth. Do you understand what I say? That some of what you think are friends are your own planetary beings, humans, just like you. We can detect that they're really not your friends. And if they get what you would be given, they would not necessarily use it in a friendly manner for you. Therefore, we will not allow this until very near or at such a rescue.
Well, thank you, Sharon, for letting me know.
I bid you farewell.
Farewell, Sharon. Glad you're listening. Wow.
Well, so, I can kind of get from that that they can actually broadcast if they wanted to.
Yes. When they want to.
Yeah, when they're ready. I'm wondering if they ever did that before. I kind of think they might have. Maybe during like some activity during World War II or something. There's some talk about that, things. Strange signals that we receive, things like that.
Well, it sure would be interesting to have a video feed between here and the moon, even if we were talking to them casually, not really seeing what their training period would be. You know, yeah, maybe when they're having lunch, we could talk to them.
Yeah, that's what we hope for. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like when, I guess, Earth becomes different. Because I think we really will have to go through a series that would, you know, take a while, years and years, maybe hundreds of years before that can be accomplished. Not because the technology is not there, but because we're not ready, you know. Yeah.
Well, some of us are ready.
Yeah, well, that's what their selection process is about. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't, you know. Well, you talk about bringing that, you put that on the internet, next thing you know, everybody's going to debunk it or whatever, and those who really understand it are going to try to back engineer everything and try to intercept these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, maybe just for some of our listeners. All the listeners.
Yeah. But I don't know. I like what they have installed into myself, which is that channel, you might say. And it's something that is everyone can have. I mean, if you ever walked with one, just one of them, just, my God, it was fun. And can you talk? Yes, we can talk. But it's sort of like, you know, why do we need to? It's sort of slow. I can give you a whole paragraph in one image. You know, serially, we talk, which is a great advantage over the other animals. But, you know, one of the things I have is a bird feeder in the backyard.
Yeah.
I always wonder, how does one bird tell his buddies?
I wonder that too.
With the feeder is full. Are they talking like we talk? I think so. I think they have a...
Or it's empty.
Yeah.
And they just don't come anymore.
Yeah.
And as soon as you fill it up again, they seem to all know.
Yeah.
Oh, those animals, they communicate with each other. Humans think they don't have a brain in their head, but they can think.
A friend of mine saying, you know, the wild dogs, okay, there's like packs of wild dogs on the island of Molokai. They got axis deer over there. So they go hunting axis deer, the hunters. And a friend of mine was hunting, and he perched himself on a pathway that the deer use. But then he noticed, darn, the dogs are here. The pack of dogs came in. And the dog, there's be a leader. I don't know what he's telling his pack, the rest of the pack. But he puts them, and they all take a position up and down the pathway that the deer use. And here comes the deer, sure enough. And the first dog starts to break the deer herd up, until he finds one that he wants to chase. And he's got that one running right along the path, just where he wants them. And that dog runs. And the dogs that were positioned up and down the path, as soon as he's tired, the other one takes over. And it keeps chasing the same deer. The next one, he's tired. The other dog takes over. and it keeps running the deer. And he's watching, his friend of mine just watching this go up the valley in the gorge. And then they chase him down the other side. And then see the other dog go, why did the dog go all the way to the other side of the canyon? Well, because they knew. And they was going to chase him. And they chased him until that poor deer couldn't run no more. And they jumped him. So they had their meal for the day. But that's, you know, life. I've seen that another time when we were fishing. The dolphins came up. And they were just in one pod of dolphins. So, you know, they just were all just together, jumping. You could see their backs. And they're coming over. Then suddenly, two of them broke loose from the pack, the center group. And they went out. And they went way ahead until they formed a group. And then what peeled off from the inner pod or school, these dolphins, were the other dolphins. And they formed a inverted V, which was coming toward us. And we had the school of fish under us. And they came right through and under my boat and took away all my fish. Well, they were saying, that's not your fish, that's my fish. So they took it away, and I didn't catch any more fish for the rest of the day. But I was thinking, man, these guys are smart, man. They are smart. They have teamwork. And, you know.
Teamwork.
Yeah, but here we are thinking we got to talk to aliens. Will they give us the higher ability, which is telepathic abilities? It doesn't have the limitations of time and velocity. We don't have to worry about what we call latency in terms of the, you know, latency is like, you know, what stock traders are worried about. These guys are trading stocks and they want to beat the guy for that trade a microsecond ahead. So if they're running too much latency in their internet connection, their connection will be too slow acting. So guys are using microwave jumps, radio links, speed of light versus fiber optic, which has to go through transitions, which go to another slower. Well, it's all gobbledygook technology, but it has to think. So every little router has to do a little bit of thinking that takes time. So the guys are building networks, and they're spending millions and billions of dollars to build these networks to be faster than the fiber optic landline, land-laid cables. And we worry about that. But in terms of Sharun's, he's way out there, positioned in his position where he likes it, there in Saturn, in the New Jerusalem, and there's no delays. This is something that is unique to that telepathic. And we're exploring that because Einstein he knew it existed but didn't know how to label it. He called it spooky action at a distance. And it's called quantum entanglement. Uh-huh. And right now we're very, very successful in terms of quantum entanglement, quantum teleportation. And some of those guys, perhaps, that were moving or losing their lives or they disappeared off the planet with that ship, that jet that disappeared. It was full of those guys.
Right, Malaysia.
Malaysia. They might have been working very much with that level of technology. Now, I get excited about, you know, technologies. I wish they would tell me how it works, but I remember being told squarely to my face, so the need to know, and you don't need to know.
I need to know.
I want to know.
I want to know.
Well,
right.
All this, I'm going to let you know only this much, you know. Yeah.
Well, the hour that you did 3 weeks ago on hour 230, the one that is called This is a Grand Alignment of Time.
Mm-hmm.
It's posted in a transcript for all for everyone to read, Michael's words on time. Thank you, Colleen from Kentucky, for doing that. And that's great. And sort of past our hour, and we'll talk to you next week, and maybe Sharon will send us a little video feed of what's going on up there sometime. I wanted to tell him I'm looking at a photograph right now of your craft.
Yeah, the video feeds sometimes that we have been given freely are really called visions and dreams. Mm. So you might be sent the video feed, but it's only for you.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll know for sure.
Yeah.
If it's coming from Sharon.
Yeah. When you start seeing, like you're looking through, you can see through your television set to the other side. Then you know you get your vision. But anyway, take it easy. Aloha for now.
All right. Aloha, Michael. See you next week.
Okay.